you just found the most entertaining Iowa podcast in the world. There was a bowl game. It wasn't a good one. We're going to recap that. Caitlin hit a buzzer beater again. There's a lot of things to fix for this Iowa football team heading into 2024. Football conversation starts at about 32 minutes. Welcome to a new year with the walk-ons. Let's have a day. Let's go. Another episode, another year of the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. Welcome to 2024 and welcome to the show. We haven't talked in a while. My voice tonight is just dead shot, which for a lot of you is going to be great because hopefully we get more Grant, we get more G-Bone, we get more Gary, more G-String.
People are going to be very upset about that.
Oh, on the contrary. People, you ever watch the old SNL skill? It's like, I got to have more cowbell.
People are I got a fever.
I got to have more G-bone.
I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Is more G-bone.
Yeah. More G-string. I don't think people are ever sad when they get more G-string.
Huh? Context is important. But.
Yeah. So, who knows? My voice is, I don't know where it went.
Who have you been screaming at?
Like who's scratchy throat? Not the kid, not the wife, not myself. We haven't been we've done as little podcasting in a 2 week span as we ever have. So I don't know. Just that season. So I'll probably try to talk quiet because when I get louder, it's that's when it kind of goes away. So it's January 3rd. The Epstein client list has been released. Scott Frost, not on it, I guess.
I would guess not, no.
Are there any John Does still left on the list?
I would have to look into it more. The website crashed instantly. So
where was it posted?
I think it's just court documents. So they just go to the local court report page and it just is not prepared for the entire world to
was it prepared up. For Drake to be on there just
I already know everything. Drake has been doing his own research on this for sure.
I mean, Kevin, you don't know this, but I think he's done it. He did it a couple times on the main show. He's been signing off DHT with Epstein didn't kill himself for, I don't know, a good 4 or 5 months.
I'll just say a year.
He did it twice on the main show, but yeah.
Yeah. So this is a big day for Drake. Nonetheless, we're not going to talk about that, although I'm sure that would be very entertaining. There was an Iowa football game. The final Iowa football game of the year took place 2 days ago, Monday, the 1st of the year. It was not a good football game. We'll talk about that a little bit. There was also 2 football games that day that were great football games. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. That's probably more exciting. Figured we might start with something to ease us in. We have a betting
recap to go through as well.
Yeah. We do have a betting recap to go through.
Bet on every single football game there was to bet.
Every football game, every horse race, every cricket match that went this past weekend, Gary had action on it, and it was all on the ticket on the Instagram graphic. So I think people were actually sad that you couldn't fit more onto the graphic.
I know. I wanted to do NFL too, but we still have time for NFL, I think.
We'll smoked in the NFL this past weekend. So let's ease into it first before we get to the betting recap. How about Caitlin Clark? Huh?
It's casual.
Awesome. Casual.
Another day in the office.
I went to bed and it was maybe tied up at the end of the third quarter. And I woke up and I was like, I should check the girls' score. So I type it in and I see that they win by 3 points. And I immediately get on Twitter and it's just the highlight of, that's been playing all day in Hawkeye Nation. wow. I mean, it's got to be, it's got to feel good to be her, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I like that she just immediately started just wandering into the crowd. Like yeah. I feel like she's had enough big moments where she probably knows what to do, but this one she just kind of like shrugged and just started casually like walking into the corner of the crowd. Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny.
I mean, do you think that it ever just becomes like uneventful for her? You know, it's like, hey, no, this is what I do, you know?
I don't think so. I don't think so because
yeah, I just dropped another 40. Like, big deal. Say,
40 points and just hitting a three right in their mouth. Like, that's got to be
Right in the freaking mouth.
And it's not a JV high school game where, like, it's just the parents are there. Like, that is a completely packed arena.
Well, it's a sold out Carver Hawkeye arena. Awesome. Kev, I don't think that, man, you would have to just be unconscious, like alien, which she almost is, to get used to and just be over game winners like that. But
I mean, if there's anyone in college basketball, it's her.
I know, but I do think that 30, 35, however many points she put up, I don't think it even registers as a blip on her radar of like, oh, that was cool. You know, I saw a stat, you know, people are doing the stats similar to the drive to 325. There's a similar drive to 35, 60 something for her to break Kelsey Plum's record. And then the record after that is Pistol Pete for all time, both men or women's. Yep. And if she averages 31.9 the rest of the year, I don't know if this was calculated in the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. I don't think it did. She will break Pistol Pete's record, and he scored a lot of points.
He scored so many points.
He averaged like 40 in college.
No, I'm trying to pull it up. He scored a bunch.
I love.
Yeah, he had 3,600 points.
So many points.
He averaged 44 points a game.
So wait, is this year four for Clark?
Yeah, the COVID was her first year, so 2021, 22, 23.
So she could have that legit record. It's not
legitimate.
Like,
yeah, legitimate.
Like, she got 5 years or whatever. Obviously, she can come back next year should she choose to, but she could break that record, and there could be no claims of, oh, she got extra time. Extra.
Oh, you just got real quiet, Kev. What
was
happened?
Was that me, or was that?
No. Oh, no. No. Kevin just got so quiet.
It's okay.
What Kevin was trying to say there was, yes, it's not going to be a COVID record, although she could.
It might look definitely better, Kevin.
Better?
Yeah. Better. yeah, Kev, the records at the end of this year will be a legitimate four-year career record. And she will. It's almost guaranteed at this point. I'd have to do the math, but she's almost guaranteed to break the women's record. Probably before they even get to the Big Ten tournament.
That's insane.
And then, you know, if she adds that COVID year, you would have...
It just becomes untouchable.
It's one of those things where you're going to need another rare situation.
Like pandemic where the NCAA grants an extra year of eligibility to someone. Right. And, yeah.
Yeah. There's never going to be, you know, barring another pandemic, there's never going to be a situation like that again. Like if you get a fifth year normally, it's because you redshirted or you medically redshirted, which means you weren't playing games.
You didn't play that season, right? You only still played four seasons and a handful of games in that redshirt season, you know?
She's going to finish this year with 3,600 plus points. And
she already has 3,100 right now.
Yeah. So she's going to finish with 3,600 plus. And if you average that out over a four-year career, that's 900 a year. If you add another 900 to that in a potential fifth year, that's 4,500 points. I mean,
it's just crazy.
It's
insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's just impossible for that to get touched in a four-year career. I mean, that's
impossible.
That's over 1,100 points a year. There's just no way.
You could
unless
win.
They start playing like double the amount of games.
I was going to say, whoever would potentially try and go after that, they could play a go all the way and win the conference tournament and win the NCAA tournament every year for 4 years and never touch it still.
You would need Coach K's like 200 team tournament that he was trying to put together so that he could get in. But
you're right. I forgot about that.
I want to shout out though, the, whoever was doing the like floor sound, the mic crew for the net on that. Yeah.
Oh,
beautiful job. That sound of going in is so crisp. So awesome.
There was controversy because the TV clock was off.
I know. But like you can, if you just watch it, you can hear the actual buzzer go off way after she releases it.
Yeah.
There's like still shots where the ball is like clearly out of her hand. And
B-Ray.
Shout out B-Ray.
B-Ray doesn't miss, baby. Yeah,
the backboard's buzzers hasn't gone off yet. So.
Point one on the clock, just over the basket from behind. That shot is, that could be the shot of the year, honestly, for Iowa sports.
I mean, that's a bold take on January 2nd, but
okay. Oh, I guess it was. I guess right. Well, it's a hell of an early candidate.
Yeah,
sure. If nothing less. Some interesting stuff about the women's team, though. They're ranked number 4 in the country. Obviously, they had the loss to K-State. It's their only loss on the schedule, which they then avenged in a second matchup versus them. They are not – this is for me from afar. I haven't gone to any games. I haven't watched any of the games in entirety, but I've caught a large chunk of many of them. And I don't think I'm saying anything groundbreaking here. They are going to need – somebody else to step up as like a legitimate third scorer if they want to have a much better chance of getting anywhere close to where they were last year as far as how far deep they went in the tourney, because Caitlin is having to take a lot of shots. She's having to score way too many points, and they're playing games that are just too close with someone scoring that many points. Like, Stolke's good. I don't know what Stolke's averaging. It's probably
14 and a half.
I was going to say probably somewhere around 15. If Caitlin averages 31, I think that's 45, 46 points. They got to be able to score 70, 80 points, and they just don't have the consistent scorers that are getting them there. So
yeah, Kate Martin's the only other one in double digits. He's averaging close to 12.
Okay. So that's actually better than I thought. So maybe they need a fourth scorer to come up, or they need Stolke, and, or maybe they just generally need a lot more bench points. Or maybe Gabby Marshall fills that role and she starts just absolute cash town down the home stretch here. But, without Sinano in there as such a solid option. It appears to me that they got taken to the wire by Michigan State, an unranked team at home. Now that team looked pretty good, but
you're saying it's going to be a lot more difficult for them to make a run in the tournament.
I think Sweet 16 is pretty, like, I'll never say locked up, but I think that's pretty feasible, right? If Iowa, say they lose one or two more games this year, they'll probably have a one or at worst a two seed. They're going to play maybe at best a 7 seed to get to the Sweet 16. They should be able to handle that. But once you get up into that range, there's teams that are good enough where if Caitlin has an off night, there's just not enough to – there might
be. Right. No, the margin of error is going to be a lot less than it was last year.
I mean, and let's be honest, getting there last year was – it doesn't also matter.
Very little margin of error there too.
Right. Like if you're the top 5 team in the country, you still have to have luck and a low margin of error to make it there. So it'll be interesting to see how well they do. But regardless, following Caitlin is like, I mean, is she, where's Hawkeye dude when you need him? Is she going to take over Kinnick, Nile, as the best, most well-known, greatest athlete from Iowa? Like, all around, greatest Hawkeye? First of all, is it...
Now Kinnick was class president, so he's got that.
Has she... solidified that it's between her and him? I would argue, yeah.
Huh.
Good question, huh? Who else would be in there if you were going to debate it?
Bo Bauer. Well,
probably Bo Bauer. Has
to be Bo Bauer. Bo Bauer's in the conversation. All right.
He's definitely top 10.
We're putting him in the conversation for greatest Hawkeye of all time.
All right, let's list Bo's resume. Interception in his first game ever.
That's pretty good. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of anyone else from football.
Does anybody even come close, Kev?
One Heisman winner, which is kind of – and then you have a couple of Heisman runner-ups.
So Brad Banks.
Yeah.
Brad Banks and Chuck Long.
Yeah.
What about like Spencer Lee?
Spencer would be
straight
Spencer accolades. Lee's in the conversation. And then, I mean, if you're only including athletes, I mean, otherwise you can include Dan Gable in the conversation. I'm just going off of, you know, this stuff.
If we're just doing like, if we're expanding like greatest Hawkeyes, what we you're just going to throw in like Gene Wilder or
Ashton Wilder. Kutcher,
Grant Wood, like if we just Ashton Kutcher,
Adam Woodbury.
Yeah. We're just throwing in just great Hawkeyes.
Is Garza close?
He's up there. He's one of the
best. I mean, but it's a lot easier to compare two basketball careers against one another, right? And he had a phenomenal career, obviously, not taking anything away from that, but it's nowhere near what the amount of buzz that Caitlin Clark's created and the career that she's had over the past 4 years.
Do you think that
plus taking your team to a national title?
Okay, and that's that plus her almost assuredly having the all-time scoring record are two massive bullet points on her resume. Do you guys think that – I'm sorry, this is supposed to be the bowl game recap episode, and we'll get there. I promise. We'll get there, but this is more exciting.
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's really hard for us to have this conversation because Grant wasn't even born in the 1900s, for God's sake. But is some of the Kinnick hype – just because he's a historical figure.
He's the only
really hard to win the Heisman.
Incredibly hard to win the Heisman. Yeah,
he's the only Heisman winner from the school on top of being like the class president. Like he was Mr. Iowa. He was
Iowa City
back in I wish so badly he wouldn't have passed away and he would have gotten into politics because it would have been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been what, governor at a minimum?
Minimum. He was going for president. It was in his freaking journals.
It'd
be crazy.
I wonder if he dies and I don't want to like downplay Kinnick as much as Hawkeye dude would like me to, you know, would shit on me for that. He's a legend. He's the greatest Hawkeye of all time. He gets the stadium named after him 100 years later, almost. There starts to become a lore of like, you know, we know he's great because we're told he was great, right? Like none of us even got to experience it. We're experiencing Caitlin real time. Like, I don't think it's out of the question that, you know, if they ever decide to rename the arena, it could be called Clark Arena.
Given the fact that the Carver family has given a shit ton of money to the university.
Yeah, Caitlin would probably have a hefty amount of money, but
they did a good job of renaming it Kinnick Stadium before people started donating tens of millions
of
dollars.
Yeah.
And no one wants to change the name now, but they can maybe name the court after her.
Clark Court.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
She
can also drop a fat check once she's made her tens of millions of dollars and then name it whatever she tells them to.
And she's I saw something the other day, and I don't know how anybody would know this because I doubt the person that she has on her team or the team that she has, there's no way they're leaking these numbers or ever telling anybody. But I saw a figure the other day that she's made $7 million so far.
In her college career, this
like she's up to $7 million in total endorsement earnings.
Seems
that's
reasonable.
Impressive.
So she's already almost made eight figures?
Yeah, I mean, what, that's like half your salary, so that's pretty
fine.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
It's like for Kevin, it's probably like 20% of what you make.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
On a good year, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. When Stryker does well, right? She's so good that she gets like the Jordan hate or like the LeBron hate. Like, she's literally a goat. People start to make shit up because they just hate greatness. Like, the argument I saw last night just like doesn't, no reason to bring it up. Like, oh, well, look at her. Look how selfish she is. She runs away from her teammates and doesn't celebrate with her team. We're just grasping at shit now.
That's a Colin Coward with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Yeah. Caitlin Clark is a backwards hat kind of girl.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's insane how what she's been able to do.
Have you seen the pictures and videos of her after the games? She's got her own security officer.
Didn't know that.
That follows her off the court and, like, you know, but she goes and signs autographs, takes pictures, gives her shoes away. It's like a Beatles fandom. It's like the people are just like swarming the tunnel to try and get a
so. Shout out to her for does she actually give her shoes away every game?
I don't know. I saw it. She did two games ago. She gave like these sick pair of they might have even been Christmas themed because they were red and maybe with a little green in them. And she gave them to this little, like, probably 10-year-old girl. And this 10-year-old girl's life was made. I mean, it was unbelievable.
I mean, that's cool. And I understand that she can afford her, you know, new sneakers every single game. I hate breaking in new shoes.
Yo, yeah, it's a total.
You think it bothers her feet having to go through a new pair of shoes every week?
I mean,
I would assume she has more than one pair of shoes.
Well, yeah, but you still have to break them in.
Eventually, you have to break new ones.
Someone's got to break them in, man. Unless you're paying someone to, hey, wear my shoes around this week.
I mean, $7 million.
I guess, yeah.
That would be a great student job on LinkedIn. Just breaking Caitlin Clark's shoes for.
Hey, run around in these for the next 6 days.
We're offering 12 an hour.
The first week of camp was always my least favorite, not because, you know, we're back at camp and it sucks, but you have these brand new cleats and they're stiff as shit, and my feet hurt so bad.
Head too, when you put on that helmet for the first few practices.
Oh yeah.
Interesting conversation. The rest of what she does this year obviously adds to that resume. So it'll be fun to see that. And then, you know, if she has another year, it'll be just ridiculous. Let's go over that betting recap. Grant, you got those, you got that graphic to pull up?
Yeah, I do.
Pull it up.
Yes. Big weekend for everyone.
Huge. Huge.
Huge.
There you go. The reveal of the graphic.
Oh, and we got little check marks. We're coming up.
That's a good ad there. I like
little
that
check
ad.
Marks. Yeah. So standings.
Grant,
lead us off.
Yeah, I took Georgia minus 19. I think it was the easiest pick of the weekend. I did a bull pick 'em. Funny enough, both of these teams had the exact number of players out for the game, 27 apiece. This was essentially like, I mean, granted, the quality of player was a little bit different on both sides, but Florida State basically gave the middle finger to the committee and the NCAA and said, okay, you're not putting us in. We're going to basically quit. Georgia won this game 63-3. And as bad of an ass beating as Iowa took on Monday, this was worse for Florida State.
Didn't they score 9 straight touchdowns?
It sounds right. Sounds right. So this was my only win of the weekend, unfortunately. The second game I picked was the Iowa game. I thought they were going to win this game outright. We'll talk about that in a second. I was drastically wrong. I took the points plus 6.5, and obviously we know the result of that. And then Ohio State, I felt like even without Kyle McCord, Ohio State would be fine. Missing
Marvin Harrison. McCord was the one you were worried about, not Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, Marvin Harrison was a game time decision. He wasn't for sure going to be out, and then he decided not to play. That definitely hurt. They get beat something like, 16-3? Ohio State does not score single-digit points, ever. And it was probably one of the most embarrassing Ohio State games in a very, very, very long time. that maybe not quite as embarrassing as what we did to them in Kinnick, but it might be the most embarrassing game since then. Missouri beats them. Missouri was a great football team this year.
Their defense was legit all year long.
Yeah.
And they're bringing a lot of guys back too.
They had a good quarterback.
Are we on Mizzou watch next year? Are we putting features in on Mizzou next year?
Have you seen their schedule?
No.
Is it bad?
There's 10 wins on there at least.
Oh, so they're making the playoff next year.
12 teams?
12 teams.
I like their chances.
Yeah.
I mean, 10-2 in the SEC, I think you're better than a coin flip of getting in.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because in the new playoff, you're probably looking at three Big Ten teams, three SEC teams at least every year.
Yeah, for sure. Given the fact that the Pac-12 has disintegrated. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
two out of the Big 12, maybe.
Depending on who they are. Yeah.
You probably get the champion and then maybe someone else, but you know, they lost their heavy hitters.
Yeah.
And then two out of the ACC probably.
Yeah.
One at large, one group of five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One Mac.
Yeah, dude.
One from the Sun Belt.
Let's get JMU.
Bowling Green enters the playoff as the 12 seed. So I was 1-2 on the weekend. Not a good weekend. I, unlike Kevin and Gary, decided to just go with my normal three picks. I was the leader in, I guess, the deciding factor here will be win percentage heading into the weekend. So I was like, cool, I'll just do my three picks. And I went 1-2. So not great, but I finish above 500, 24-21. We'll take it. And one of you can take the floor. Jesus Christ, my voice.
We started off with Oregon. I had them at -16.5. Started off the game down 6-0. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Liberty's coming for the national title. And then then Oregon goes on to score the next 45 points. So we're good there.
Yeah.
I also had the Hawks +6.5. Was really hoping for a better performance. And obviously we did not get that. But we also had the Iowa-Tennessee under at 35.5. And that catches by the skin of its teeth. So we'll cash that one. And then going back to that Ohio State game, I had the under at 48.5, two really good defenses. Ohio State's most important offensive players out. That was never even a question. I think it was, 3-3 at halftime?
3-0.
3-0 at halftime. There you go.
Lock.
And then to the Rose Bowl, had the Michigan men -1.5 and the over in that game. Needed the overtime for both of those to hit. Awesome, awesome football game, man. I mean, I might just go rewatch that one for fun sometime. We can talk about that game a little bit more here in a second. But yeah, both those hit.
G-Bone.
Gary, bet every single football game that was played on the 31st and first.
Quick rundown of your picks.
No, we did good. I went 8-2, so pretty good. I had a lot of similar picks to you guys. We had Mizzou, Oregon, of course. Only losers were Penn State. Not a great showing from them. A great defense, offense just didn't really prepare.
Ole Miss is another one of those teams to look out for next year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're I don't even know if you're a secret Lane fan anymore. I think
I'm actually going to try to go to a game next year.
Ooh. Okay.
Cool.
All right. I'll take it. So Penn State didn't do very well, and then Iowa. Hey, I'm going to go with my guys. All right. That's what I got.
I saw you spouting on Twitter that you were liking the Iowa over.
I've been hunting the Iowa over.
What was the final score tally this year? Did we go over twice? I think this year.
I think we got two, and I think we were both two.
I think it was 12.
I think the last one was Michigan State. And that was the last over. But okay, next year we're getting more of those. All right, I will not stop. I will be training all summer to get these overs. Okay, that is a promise from me. All right, good. We're going to be better next year. But then, a lot of other good ones. Arizona, fun one. Mizzou, Rutgers, awesome. Toledo from the Arizona Bowl, great stuff from them. They had a big man robbed of a cool touchdown, which was really unfortunate. But then if we're just doing playoff, though, Washington +4. I'm very excited for the Washington Huskies. I love their live mascot, Dubs. Great dog. They had some good photos. He was all cozy up in his Washington blanket, as well as he had great sunglasses on during the game. Looking forward to seeing him in the national championship. And then most importantly, though, we are still holding on to Washington 22-1 to win the national championship. A little nervous. Michigan, very good team. But I love that Washington is an underdog for the national championship.
Dude, no
respect.
Just
been proving everyone wrong all year.
No respect.
No respect to him.
I don't know if we're going to give picks later here again today, but how can you keep betting against a team that just keeps winning as underdogs?
You can't.
I mean, 4.5 points, I feel like it's a lot, man.
You want to, Grant, you want to give a little insight into your psychology? I know there was some discussion in the Discord about, do you double down? Do you hedge at this point? What are you thinking?
Well, I can't cash out or anything anyway, because it's on the Betfred Iowa app, and I'm not in the state of Iowa, so I don't have a choice anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you can obviously place a bet on the Michigan plus whatever money line it is.
You could, but no, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to double down.
Love that.
You're doubling down, so
I'm just going to double.
You're betting on Washington again.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to bet on Washington again. If I'm anything, I'm not hedging. I'm going down with the ship. All right.
Are you at least taking the points, or is it Washington money line?
Well, I mean, I lose everything if they don't win. So,
well, I mean, you could you can bet them plus 4.5, and you know, you can either double up or you can at least have yourself.
This comes down to my loyalty to the Huskies. Okay, is what it comes down to. They've been my team since August. I've been with them. Shout out the boy Roger Rosengarten. I've been riding with my friends this whole time. I'm sticking with Washington. I'm not going to go do some workaround where I got to bet on another team. I'm just going to stick with it. I'm going to keep it simple. Why go around? I'm just keeping it simple. I'm going to stick with Washington, and I'm going to give them my loyalty. I'm going down with the ship. If everyone loses, I lose too.
I love that. I need somebody in the Discord to post us a captain of the ship going down in a.
Or the ship just getting to the dock? How about some positivity?
You're saying you're going down with the ship. I need Gary's face superimposed onto a ship captain, maybe the Titanic.
If it goes down.
Right.
But it won't.
I do feel like 4.5 is a lot of points for a national championship and for these two teams specifically. I'm very excited to watch them play. That is the bowl game season. End of bowl game season.
Very sad.
Betfred recap. Shout out to Betfred. Download the Betfred Iowa app. There will be lots to bet on here as we get towards March Madness. And gosh, not just basketball. There's so much more. There's so many things.
NBA.
There's still NFL, NBA, and hockey. Lots of things to bet on. Shout out to our friends at Betfred for sponsoring the show, being the title sponsor this past season and beyond, hopefully far beyond. Real quickly, before we get into this game, we didn't quite get there, but our YouTube account currently sits at 2,992 subscribers. We need eight of you guys to find your dead grandma's YouTube account.
just make a fucking Gmail account.
Or just make a new account. Somebody in the Walk On Army. WalkOnArmy1@gmail.com, WalkOnArmy2@gmail.com. Make a YouTube account with all of those emails. And just get us to 3K. It means nothing, but it looks good, right? Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
We're growing on Instagram a lot.
Instagram's closing in on what, 4,000 followers?
Let me check.
I think so. Oh, let's go.
Closing in on 4,000.
Yeah. We're trying to make moves. When Grant joined, by the way, we were at 1,600 followers. So Grant's done some work over there.
Trying my best.
Well, one more quick thing before we get into this game. I saw a tweet from Kevin Ward this weekend. He said, I don't know what we spent on flyovers in 2023, but I think we should double it in 2024. Do you want to elaborate on that, Kev?
Double it. What more do you need to say? I want it doubled. I want twice the amount of flyovers.
Can somebody superimpose Kevin into a stealth bomber over the Rose Bowl, please? And give me that screenshot as well.
Every event can be made better with a flyover.
100%. I don't care if it's a freaking basketball game. We can't even see the flyover. I want to hear it. I just want to hear it.
Oh, there was some, which there was an NFL team this year that had a flyover for their first
and
game.
And the roof was closed. Yeah.
Someone has made that mistake already.
Yeah.
That's funny. So,
all right. Tennessee, Iowa. I'm dead serious. I thought the Hawks were going to win this game outright. I was very wrong. I'm not normally surprised by the Iowa football team. They're not really a surprising team, be it good or bad, either way. I was surprised by this result. Initial reactions or thoughts to the result from Monday, Kevin Ward?
Disappointed. I mean, just like, I don't know, man. It was tough to watch.
Was it shocking to you?
I was surprised. I definitely expected better performances. I mean, obviously on the offensive side, but you know, the defense had kind of had their hands full. They looked like the longer drives, like there were some dudes who were huffing and a puffing. Like,
yeah.
You know, and that was one of the things that Tennessee did well this year is like when they get moving on drives, like they're going fast and, you know, not allowing our guys to sub. And you could tell that, you know, the speed and the conditioning wasn't there for us. Yeah. You know, that quarterback, I'm not even going to, Iamaleava. Yeah. Whatever. He's going to be a good player here in the next few years.
Yeah, he is. He's long. He's fast. He can spin it.
Sure. Yeah. I think they beat us with speed. Defensively, we were just on the field too much too. I mean,
a lot. Gary, any thoughts?
I was definitely bummed out. I thought we were going to win too, just like I do every game. But you know, that's part of the price of being a fan. You just you get yourself up, and you know, you get disappointed sometimes, but it's okay. Still proud of the season the guys had. A lot of adversity, they got through it. But part of me too, a little bit in a way, is like, okay, like we got a lot of things to look forward to next year. Hopefully, bring a lot of guys back. You know, potentially, you know, they get a different OC. It could be really exciting. I'm excited for what the future has. Like this game sucked. This was not very fun. But you know, you get to see like, you know, I saw some younger guys out there like Marco looks fast. That's all I need to see. Guy looks fast, looks athletic. That's enough to get me to like April. Just the videos of him juking that one guy out. That's enough for me to like April. I can just watch that over and over again.
Yeah. He's got a little stuff to him for sure.
Yeah.
He's got, now I can see, I saw all the people were like complaining. It was like, why was Deacon Hill playing over this kid the entire year? It's like, the throws weren't exactly there, but the athleticism, loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Like what he can do escaping the pocket is like something we haven't seen from Iowa quarterbacks since CJ. And I think the fans are just dying for it.
Yeah.
I fully share the sentiment of the fans with this. I don't know how in today's game, with how fast and quick and just tempo it's gotten. I mean, specific, you don't even have to talk about passing game or anything like that. You just look at the D linemen that people run out there these days. There's D linemen that are running 4.5s in the NFL. Like, if you do not have a quarterback that can create with his legs, if he needs to, not as the primary. And I think there's a little bit of a difference there. There's a huge difference there. And I'll touch on that in a second. Then you better have Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, because you just have to have it. And we saw why that was beneficial, both when Marco made a couple plays and all game with Lavalea. He sounds like a Pokemon. I think he scored 3 rushing touchdowns, didn't he?
Yeah,
I believe so. Yeah.
Marco had a little bit of success, got some first downs. I wouldn't get too excited about that for 3 reasons. 1, that is not an offense. That's not even an offense when you have Lamar Jackson. You never make that the primary goal of your offense for your quarterback to be running for first downs. It's just not what you do. We saw that experiment with Adrian Martinez, and he got cracked ribs and a hurt hand, and he was broken from head to toe. It also means that you're either A, your quarterback is not finding open receivers, or your receivers are not open. That's one of the options. Or C, the third potential reason why you're seeing a quarterback run is because the line is not giving him enough time. So these are all because of bad
things. Yeah, well, that's not – I agree with you on all three of your points, right? It's like that's – A, that's not how we want to get first downs. You don't want to put your quarterback out there for risk. B, you'd rather him be finding open receivers and receivers are open and throwing them the ball. That's why we called that play, right? And obviously you want good offensive line play. But just having the ability to escape the pocket when necessary is huge. And
huge.
I guess I'll let you finish here in a second, is that those were first downs that if Deacon Hill's in the game, it's fourth down, call it.
Correct, which is why it is so exciting in a small sample size to see that. At Iowa, the way that we currently run offense, some would call it old, outdated, antiquated, whatever. You need linemen that can give a quarterback time. You need those things. And
overall, I thought the line played better.
They played better.
I think they had a solid game.
But on a whole, they didn't run block like Iowa needs a line to run block this year. Pass pro was decent. I listened to, and I'm not really one for pushing people to other shows, but I listened to Miller and Williams today recap the game, and I think they pretty much drilled it. I mean, every note I took was essentially the same stuff that they were saying. Some people don't like them. Some people don't listen to them. If you want a pretty damn good breakdown of at least my thoughts, they drilled it on their most recent episode. Deacon Hill isn't a Division I quarterback. Let's call a spade a spade. And it blows my mind that, and I get it. We've been on the inside. I felt this pull even several years after we were out of the program to, like, just at all costs, no matter what, stick up for the guys on the inside. And I have nothing against Deacon, but it is almost disrespectful to Hawkeye Nation and the fans and the people who come and support the games for Coach Ferentz and for Coach Brian Ferentz to get up there and consistently say that Deacon has played good football for Iowa this year. It's just bullshit. Like, it's bullshit.
Have they ever actually come out and said that he's played good?
Yeah. Brian said this past week that Deacon's played great football for him this year and he's won a lot of games. It's just not true. No. And I get it. It's coach speak, but it's just not true. I don't know. And again, this is something that Chris Williams and John Miller said too, but I agree with them. I don't know if Deacon entered the portal, if there'd be a single Division I football team who would be interested in what he put on tape. I don't know if there would be. There are some severe deficiencies. And so you hope that with McNamara back next year, that a lot of that gets fixed. And I think if you have McNamara and you have Luke Lachey, who's coming back, by the way, and you had Eric Ole this year, and, you know, Caleb Brown comes along as a receiver, you get a couple other guys to just show some progress in the receiving core, I think the offense does look different. I don't think it's even maybe better than average, but I think maybe it does get to the 70th or 80th best in the country. And I think that's enough for the way that Iowa plays football. But I don't.
Here's a question for you. If Iowa's offense was not 130th or whatever it ended up being, but sure. instead it was 70th.
Sure.
Does that change their record at all besides Minnesota game?
I think they've got a shot in this bowl game. Yeah. I think they win the Minnesota game. I think that with how that defense played in the Big Ten Championship, I think that is a close ball game. They probably don't win, but I think it's close. Penn State, they might have still handled that game.
I think we still lose Penn State.
I think we go 10.
We probably beat Minnesota.
I think it's possible that we pull out the bowl game and we're 12-2. I get what you're saying, Kev. 10 wins is phenomenal. You know me. I'm a win guy. I've said on this show, if we win 3-0 every game and then we were 15-0 national champions, I think that hang it in the Louvre, right?
I'm not saying that what the offense put on tape or on the field this year is by any means acceptable. I'm just saying, like, I don't think it would have made a whole lot of difference in the win column this year.
I agree. However, I believe, and I didn't for a while, for much longer than most fans, almost every fan was okay with. I was okay with the offense being dog shit for 2 years. It's gotten to the point where I would imagine it's already affected the portal and recruiting and maybe even trying to keep guys on your own team. Although the culture in that building seems to be stronger than it's ever been right now. They didn't have hardly any opt-outs. They've got Jay Higgins, Luke Lachey, Jermari an hour before this podcast announced he was coming back. I wouldn't doubt if Castro or Coop or Schulte, one of those three or more, also announced they're coming back. There seems to be a bit of a theme, by the way, with their announcements. But it's a bad look, man. And as much as I don't care, I fully understand for fans how this is just not fun to watch. Like it's horrible.
No, I mean, it's fucking bad when it's 14-0 and you're seeing the way your offense is playing. It's like, okay,
this game's over.
I don't see a way that we can win this game.
And you know, the most damning thing, Kev, is you're right. We were 10 and were we? 10-4. We played three good teams, three ranked teams this year. And we were shut out in every game. We were outscored 90-0 in the three games that mattered on a national level. It's a bad look.
It's embarrassing. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
we're not even in a spot right now where it's like, hey, a little bit here, a little bit there, and we'll be right there. It's like, no, we have a mountain to climb to replace this offensive production. And they've made one decision. Beth made the top decision. There's a new OC in town starting. I think KF said he wants to have a new OC announced by the second week of January. So it'll be very soon. And we'll do a podcast about that, but there's just a ton of work to be done. And going all the way back to it, I think that you want a quarterback that can move. And as much as we're excited about McNamara and if he's healthy, what he can do throwing the ball and operating and managing an offense, I'll be honest, I'll be scared for him to run next year. You know, he's got two knee surgeries under his belt now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, they're different knees, right? One ACL at each knee.
I think that's right. I believe that's right. So,
I mean, guys come back from one ACL tear and they can be perfectly fine. So,
you're right.
I mean, if it's the same knees several times, then that thing starts to go to shit. But there's no reason that Cade can't be the athletic Cade McNamara that, you know, played against Iowa in 2021, sure. Right? And hopefully without a quad tear or two going into the season.
Yeah. I'll say this on that front. Every quarterback that we've signed, every being, I think, two or three at this point. Linez, I think his name is, what's his first name? Something Resar,
mm-hmm.
from Florida. And then the guy they just signed out of Indianapolis in the 25 class. They're all track guys. So after, I believe, Carson May, who transferred out last season after a year, after that, for the last three seasons, they've signed a scholarship quarterback who is very clearly a dual threat, a guy who can run. So I think in recruiting, they've made the move. Recruiting, obviously, especially at Iowa, takes 2-3 years to develop. We see the very, very first little blossom of that with Marco in the bowl game. So we'll see moving forward. But and damn, there is some stuff to work on.
Yeah, and I understand why we were hesitant to put him in. I mean, the guy was a true freshman this year. He was on the scout team all year long. So, like, basically bowl prep was his first – he got a couple weeks of running the Iowa offense since August, right? Yeah. So, obviously, we're going to go with Deacon Hill coming into the game. And I would have really hoped for him to have played better. I mean
– he's just
The one pick when we're on the 3-yard line, is just an unacceptable throw.
Yeah. And he turns the ball over way too much. His pocket presence is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some stuff that here's how I look at it. Kev, you and I, for whatever reason, we were not NFL football players, right? We weren't good enough to play. We just weren't good enough to play in the NFL. That was one level too big for us. And I think that's no indictment on us as people. Now, me and you are shitty people, but
the football, two aren't related.
But the football talent has nothing to do with that, right?
Yeah.
Deacon's a great dude. And this kind of gets to the stuff about Brian, too. But both Deacon and Brian, performance-wise, didn't get it done. And in Division I athletics, you have to produce. It just is what it is. He's not a Division I quarterback. And we saw that, and I don't know if what happens to Deacon Hill's career, because Cade comes back, and then after that you've got, I don't even know how many years Deacon has left, and then you're looking at the guys that we've recruited to be in a quarterback battle. But
I would hope to see, I mean, God, sounds like such a fan. But I mean, I guess that's not really a bad thing when it makes sense. I would hope to see Marco take the number 2 spot next year.
Yeah, I would agree. You would think that
he'll have a full spring ball, full camp, where you can get a full off season of reps. Yeah. I mean, I guess we're going to be learning a new offense here. That he's got such a higher ceiling as far as where he can go, that we need him to be getting the reps. And where I was going before that is, like, you know, he didn't look very comfortable back there at all when he was going to throw. I mean, his feet looked amazing, like awesome to see what he can do with his feet and his legs and trying to extend plays and get first downs. But he didn't look comfortable passing the ball yet and comfortable in the offense, but that's going to come with time. Right. And so I understand why we went with Deacon Hill going into the game, but damn, got to play better. But Marco's got to be the number 2 guy behind Cade coming in next.
Has to be. And going into spring ball.
Like this has got to be like a KF, like put out the January depth chart and like, hey, Marco's number 2.
And I don't want to get too hung up on it, because me and you would die for KF. It doesn't matter. Like, me and you would die for him. We're the homers. We're biased. We are who we are. But with Deacon, and even Petrus a little bit, and I think, you know, you could maybe make an argument for that after we saw what Padilla gave us. It wasn't really much better. It feels like KF, maybe a little bit in the back end of his coaching career, digs his heels in on some things that the media or the general fan perspective pushes back on. Like, hey, you got anything better than Deacon Hill at quarterback? And they're just like, no, he's been playing good football for us.
I understand them saying playing good. Like, what are you going to do? Throw your player under the bus? No, of course not. But it is very possible that Deacon Hill was the best that we had on our roster at that point.
That's
because you're talking about a true freshman.
I get freshman it.
Playing quarterback, and as a guy who's been on scout teams, like, that playbook gets real small.
Yeah, I get it. It's just the fact that if that is true, then we have other issues. Like,
don't get me wrong. Yeah, I understand. You'd like to have a deeper room at the quarterback position. What I'm saying is, you know, Cade McNamara goes down.
I get it. I get it. He was what our chips were all on Cade, and we had to fold him because he got hurt. You know, it is what it is. Quarterback development was also technically under Brian's watch. He was the quarterback.
Last three years.
So not only will we have a new offensive coordinator, but we'll have a new quarterback's coach. Maybe it will also be the OC. Maybe that will be delegated somewhere else. I don't know. But that will be interesting. And I think it's obviously, it should be an obvious thing that they look at and go, this seriously needs to, I don't necessarily care to talk about it, but one of the things about Iowa quarterbacks, when people talk the history of KF and the quarterbacks at Iowa, is that oftentimes you see a lot of fun stuff early on and then they just don't get a lot better. They regress. There's an argument to be made for several quarterbacks that that is true. I get we're not going to have a Michael Penix. Like, it's just probably not going to happen. But
I mean, Michael Penix committed to Indiana. I mean, there's no reason that we can't.
Well, but Michael Penix. That's true. But we just haven't. We haven't had one. We haven't had a Michael Penix since Brad Banks. And we haven't had anyone really close since CJ. It's just like, damn, we got to. Like, and I feel like maybe Cade, production wise, could be that guy, but we got to have him healthy. Like, it's just, and these are the questions and everything that, that's going to be mulled over in these next few weeks. Obviously, the OC being hired is going to be big news. The amount of shit that Brian continues to take damn near had me over the edge this weekend. Somebody in Iowa media fucking put out that he was a bully. And I mean, I wouldn't call him a respected. I've never seen any of his stuff. I'm not even going to say his name on the podcast, but he's not a big guy. He's not a beat writer, but he's a radio guy and he's got some following within the Hawkeye world. And he called him a bully and an asshole or something like that this weekend on Twitter and said, like, good riddance. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Like, and I
did he get beat up by Brian in high school or something?
Must have, because that's a wild like character assassination to put out there when he probably doesn't even know Brian. That's crazy. And I actually responded to him and I was like, I hope you have some personal story with this, because if this is just conjecture, that putting this out is embarrassing. That's unbelievable. I would love if KF were to do something a little non-KF like and grab someone that makes him a little bit uncomfortable. You know, one of these guys who's going to bring in but I don't think that's going to happen. KF is the guy for a reason. He's the top of the food chain. He's going to do what he feels is best. And 99.9% of the time, what he feels is best is straight line, nothing fancy, nothing flashy. And whoever he brings in, we just need something scheme wise that's a little bit better to mesh with a quarterback play that's a little bit better, and I think we'll be fine. But damn, if this fan base and team is just going to hole the last couple of years, it's just they're absolutely starved for offense.
All things being equal, you assume that our four best offensive players are healthy. Whoever the next OC is automatically walking into a better situation than what we had this year. And guess what? The sky is the limit and the floor is pretty damn low. So
yep. Buy now, buy the stock now.
I can only go up now. Exactly. It's only going up.
We're going to the moon. Great time to invest.
Yeah. I do want to give a shout out to two players who set records in the bowl game. Torrey Taylor, not necessarily a record you want to set. This kind of goes with the...
Not his fault.
Well, it's not his fault, but...
All he did was, hey, when the Hawkeyes called on him, he just did his job.
Torrey sets the record for all-time punting yards in a season a record that has been held since 1938.
Awesome.
Holy shit.
And we'll, to be honest, probably won't be broken. One of the crazy stats of the year of a full book of them was there's not a single team other than Iowa in the country to have more punting yards than offensive yards during the season. Iowa, the only one. And the number was 1,100 more.
Is that bad?
We were fucking bad, boys. The drive to 325 ended with an average offensive score of about what Stolke averages a game, 15 points a game. It was bad. So good on you, Torrey.
Can we still just congratulate Torrey?
In the punting world, average punt is better than probably total punt yards because people don't have the same amount of volume. But he's pretty dang up there on that, too. I think he ends with the potentially he might have even beat Roby's career average. He's damn close, if not. And
also just an absolute assassin at plus 50 punts.
Just unbelievable. And we're going to miss him sorely next year, even if we have a guy who's doing good. It's just he was great to have in the program. Would love for to get him back on the show. We had him on this summer. Need to get him on again for his own episode. And then Jay Higgins. With a 16 tackle game, goes out and ties the single season all-time record for Iowa for tackles.
Robbed, though.
In a season? What?
He was robbed, though, of his the record-breaking one.
Really?
Well, I mean, they didn't give him the one tackle because they thought he was in the end zone. And
Well, he ends with, I believe the number is 171 in a season. And that's a lot of collisions. So if we could get, maybe we could find his Venmo and we could NIL him some massage treatments or something because his body hurts right now after a season worth of just absolute car crashes. But shout out to Jay, and it'll be great to have Jay back. And we'll kind of end with that. You know, we got the Jermari announcement. We've had the Luke Lachey announcement, Jay Higgins. There could be more.
They've all been
very succinct. Yeah.
This is a great time of year now because you get just get into talking season.
Oh yeah,
I can just create the narrative. All these guys coming back in my head.
This is Jermari's announcement. Just, I mean, literally 3:28 this afternoon, and all it says is there's more to give. See you next fall. Like,
awesome.
Jay Higgins was very similar. It was like I've got more to prove. Luke Lachey is like there's more left for me to do, and they're just like these one word announcements, not these long bullshit paragraphs.
It's fucking blue collar, go to work, baby.
And it's you know, even in these announcements, the way that they present themselves, there is something special in Iowa City still, maybe at its peak right now, culture wise. So, damn it, if there's a reason to ever keep KF, even if the offense is just in the dumpster, it's because there's not a better culture in the world. There just isn't. He's got guys coming back for 14th years, and the potential for next year is big. So
I was going to say, can I do breaking news?
Sure.
We have 3 Pro Bowl Hawks.
Oh.
Just announced.
Oh.
Who do we got?
All right, so you got Sam Laporta.
Tight end.
Rookie year, very impressive. Tyler Linderbaum.
Of course.
Let's go.
And then George Kittle.
Tight end you.
Yeah. So congrats to those guys.
I'm surprised Wirfs wasn't on.
I'm just reading the list.
Well, Pro Bowl is like, it's gotten more and more about like just voting, right?
Yeah,
fan voting. Yeah, it's like, right. it's more of a popularity contest than actual.
George Kittle claims his mom voted 100 times for Brock Purdy. So
good for him. That's good amazing.
Good chance one of those guys doesn't play in the Pro Bowl because they're in the Super Bowl.
I hope that George wins the Super Bowl this year. It's all I want.
I would love that. That'd be very cool.
We did not even talk about the semifinal games. So the national championship is Monday, correct?
Yep.
So I suppose that gives us some content to talk about Sunday night. We'll kind of recap those games a little bit. We'll look ahead to the national championship. We'll talk about any other Hawkeye news, if there's any other announcements, any other hirings, maybe, who knows. And we'll see you on Monday morning, the morning of the national championship. Sorry, I sounded like a fucking elf this episode. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. 2024, the walk-ons are going to keep banging away. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.